is Will Tinkin.
Thanks for listening to the Bitter Comics Podcast. And here's your host, JT Foreman.
Good job, dude. Can I have a high five?
Yes.
Good job. That's really nice.
Hello, and welcome to episode 71 of Bitter Comics. I am JT Foreman, and I'm here with my good friend Terry, the Beast, Michaels.
Meow.
Meow.
Well, actually, I think I'm the Beast because I'm the one that showed up.
That's true. You are. You know what? In Bobby Williams' defense, he was going to be on the show tonight. I called him 2 hours ago asking him to be on the show.
Oh.
And then he canceled 1 hour ago. So it's not like I gave him a lot of notice. So,
actually, let that go. You gave him an hour, he gave you an hour.
Yeah, pretty much.
So there you go.
But then I called every single comic in Fresno, basically, whose phone number I have. Most of them didn't answer their phone. No one ever answers their phone anymore, apparently.
Including the unfunny ones?
Yeah, even the unfunny ones.
Wow.
They definitely don't answer their phones.
They're not used to get calls.
And, you know, the couple of guys who did call back weren't able to make it. So, you know, just no one is ever able to do anything last minute for some reason.
It's Tuesday,
man. It's like, do people have lives so densely scheduled that they're busy on a Tuesday night?
It's Tuesday. It's party time.
Tuesday is party time. Seriously?
I don't know. I don't party.
What kind of parties are happening on Tuesday night?
Lame
parties. Because you know what? The whole joke about something happened and it doesn't matter is like, well, it was Tuesday. You know,
it's true.
You don't remember it. Well, you know, for you, it was the most important event in your life. For me, of your life. For me, it was Tuesday.
Yeah, it was. It's 7:45.
7:45. Well,
oh wait, it's 7:39. Sorry.
Thanks for coming, Terry. I do appreciate it.
Or breathing heavy.
Yeah, the only two people in Fresno who didn't have a wild party to go to tonight, myself and the Beast, Terry Michaels.
You got chips and water. How can I say no?
I do have chips and water, and I have dip as well.
That's right. There is dip here.
And I also have orange juice, but you
OJ, you know, do you have vodka?
No, I'm afraid
see,
not.
See, then that's I don't have OJ unless there's vodka.
Well, you know, I would have made sure to get the vodka if I'd have thought you were still riding your motorcycle. But since you drove a car here, I didn't think it would be a good idea.
Yeah, I don't want to take anybody with me.
I don't remember who it was, but someone told me that they will never get pulled over no matter how drunk they are because they drive a scooter. I think that was Brian Gurian.
I personally, if I was a cop, I would pull you over for riding a scooter.
For riding?
What the hell?
I used to have a scooter, and it was a lot of fun.
Hey,
I really
JT, I would pull you over for riding that scooter. You are entirely too large to ride a scooter.
Well, you know, I had a fairly big scooter.
Big scooter.
Yes.
A big scooter, that's called a motorcycle.
Well, no, see, a motorcycle requires you to change gears.
You almost called it a motor scooter.
Motor scooter. A motorcycle requires you to change gears. To me, that is the difference between a motorcycle and a scooter. Is a scooter just has the one gear. A motorcycle, you have to change gears while you're driving.
So what you're saying is you're too lazy.
Pretty much.
All right.
Well, you know, I get really easily distracted. I know I wouldn't be able to focus long enough to remember to downshift, and I'd end up just exploding the transmission or something.
Well, you wouldn't be the first one.
Yeah, well, you know, when they make a motorcycle with an automatic transmission, you let me know.
They do.
They do?
Oh, yeah.
I was told that they used to, and they don't anymore because they didn't really work right. And
they make them for trikes.
Oh, for trikes.
Motor trikes.
Okay, so like the thing that, what was the old dude with the oxygen tank on?
Sons.
On Sons of Anarchy?
Yeah, he's probably got it's probably not an automatic transmission, but that's exactly what it is. It's a three-wheel motorcycle. Two wheels in the back, the one in the front.
Well, you know, that was a great show. I really enjoyed it, and I'm looking forward to the next season coming out on Netflix Instant Watch. So right now I've only seen three season four, I think.
Now, have you seen Justified?
No, I have not.
Okay.
Justified
is my new addiction. It took the place of Sons while they're on vacation.
Oh, okay, cool. Well, you know what? Let me finish the intro, and then we're going to get back to Sons of Anarchy and Justified.
S.O.A. Right.
So we begin once again with our opening segment. JT was a real prick last week, in which I apologize for the cruel, offensive, and probably racist things I said last episode. So for my insensitivity in episode 70, I would like to apologize to black people. Old people.
Again.
Yes. Women who do not want to serve in the military. Time machines. the guy who didn't get tickets to see the Super Bowl, Pockets, and anything imported from either India or the Philippines.
The one guy that didn't get tickets to the Super Bowl? Yeah,
that one guy.
There's only one guy?
Well, see, last episode I talked about traveling back in time and going to see the Bears win the Super Bowl in 85. And, you know, the game was sold out, so there's one guy who didn't get to see the Super Bowl because of me. And I just felt I should say I'm sorry to this fictitious person who I offended by fake going back in time to all see right. the Super Bowl.
I just want to know how you offended Pockets.
Well, I was talking about people who women with large breasts who never wear bras, and eventually they don't need a bra, they just need pants with really big pockets.
Wow. Thank yes, you for that visual.
The National Geographic tits, I believe, is the technical term for that.
That's right. Check it out, nationalgeographic.com.
You know, back before we had the internet, and when you're a kid and you were just desperate to see titties, you go find some National Geographics, and you look through for the guy who went to check out the Native African tribe.
I never did that.
You never did that?
I stole...
Well, neither did I. I would That would be disgusting. I no, wouldn't
I,
do that.
I stole Penthouse from the...
from your older brother or
no,
something?
No, from the liquor store. Oh, I was shoplift for my pussy.
Okay, all right, yeah.
You know what I mean? I'm dedicated. I wanted to see some nipples. And there was this... I remember specifically remember this one issue. I'm not sure. it was Penthouse. Mm. And it was this... woman dressed up in a American Indian garb.
Yeah.
And she was very tan, very attractive. I distinctly remember her.
Do you remember the name or what issue it was in?
No, I don't. I wish.
Well, you know, I remember, I think it was October 86 issue of Gallery. There was a girl named Nadia.
Oh.
And of all of the porn magazines that I've ever had, that's the one I got the most mileage out of. mileage would be euphemism for that's the one I masturbated the most times to, yeah, just in case you were wondering.
I think we got it.
Okay. But just want to make sure it's clear.
Yeah.
That
we know you jerk off, Joel.
Nadia from Gallery, if you're listening, I still love you.
Yeah, she was American Indian, and let me just say, I pitched a tent to her teepee.
Ba-dum-bum.
Folks.
Well,
I'll be here all week.
Well, one thing I did want to say about the apology to any women who do not want to serve in the military. I was thinking about something that happened in the news recently. And the U.S. military has just lifted the ban on women serving in combat in our military. And I just think that it was kind of absurd because there have been so many women serving in combat. I mean, if you're a woman in the military and you're in Iraq, you're in combat. It doesn't matter where you were at. You know, they want to say, oh, you're not in combat, but you're a helicopter pilot, you know, flying overhead. It's like you want to tell Tammy Duckworth that she's a member of Congress now who is an Iraq veteran that, well, you never really served in combat before. She'd be like, tell that to my fucking legs. Oh, wait, you can't because they got blown off when my helicopter was shot down. Fuck you. So, you know what? Tammy Duckworth is my fucking hero. She wow. got both of her legs shot off in a helicopter while she was flying a helicopter in Iraq.
And now she's a corrupt government member.
Exactly. Now she's a member of the House of Representatives. I can't remember from what state.
God bless
I want to move there just so I can fucking vote for her because I saw her on an interview recently. I think it was on the Rachel Maddow show. And she was awesome. She had a really friendly, great attitude.
Did she grab her crotch?
No, she didn't grab her crotch.
Okay.
But you know what? If I lost both of my legs, I would be fucking pissed. Okay? And she was smiling and happy to be on the show and talking about how,
Joel,
you know, she's going to Washington and she's going to change things. And it's Tammy Duckworth, I love you. You are my hero. I want to be just like you if I ever grow up.
You want to lose your legs?
Besides that.
Oh, okay. So you want to do it the pussy way then?
Well, I want to keep the penis. I don't want to have a... Oh, okay. You didn't mean literally the
right.
pussy way.
So you want to be a pussy about it. If you want to be like her, you know, lose your legs.
No, I don't want to be... I don't want to lose my legs, but other than that, because she just seemed like such a cool person in that interview. I want to move to wherever her district is just so I can vote for her.
I think if something like that happens, you should be able to compensate and get something else that's better. Like if you lose both your legs, you'd have a huge dick.
Well, what was the movie where the woman lost her leg and they replaced it with a machine gun? It's like fuck? Death Proof or something, or
what are those?
Death Proof. The other one of those two.
Yeah, it was
Planet Terror. Planet Terror.
Something like that. It's fucking ridiculous.
Yeah, kind of.
Then we'd have to ban her leg.
To ban her leg. Yeah. Speaking of banning things,
this podcast will be banned in 7 different cities.
Well, if anyone out there would like to know specifically why I'm apologizing to each of these things, please check out episode 70 and all our previous episodes at bittercomics.podbean.com. If you would like to subscribe to the podcast, just go to that website and scroll down a little bit on the right-hand side of the page. There are buttons you can click on to subscribe using iTunes, Google, or My Yahoo. And if you feel I owe any additional apologies, please send us an email to bittercomics@hotmail.com, and in the subject line, please put, "Dude, you're falling apart." I am falling apart. You know, I had this idea for a comedy bit to do at an open mic sometime, and it's a little meta, by which I mean bullshit. But what I was going to do is, okay, you got 3 minutes. All right, I'll go up on stage and then just start listing all of my credits and my internet, the websites and the podcasts I do and my Facebook. And once once I list everything, that'll be 3 minutes. And I'll say, sorry, I didn't have time to tell any jokes. Have a good day. And I'll walk off stage.
Nice. How Andy Kaufman.
How Andy Kaufman, yes.
How Andy Kaufman.
But you know what? Then that's why I wouldn't do it. Because you know what? Fuck Andy Kaufman.
Wow.
Well, you know, I realize that everyone thinks
you're going to have to dig him up.
You know what? Well, you know what? Get a checkbook and a shovel. Let's make a deal.
Oh, now I've got to pay for it. Because exactly. You want to fuck him. I got to pay for
exactly.
it.
Exactly. You know, everyone talks about Andy Kaufman as if he was some sort of a comedic genius.
Because he's dead.
And I will admit that some of the things that I've seen of his are pretty clever. I thought the wrestling stuff he did was really good. You know, he understood what they were doing. You know, wrestling, it's fake, by the way, just so you guys know. I'm
thanks,
John. Sorry to disappoint everyone out there.
Fucking now I'm leaving.
You know what? It's a show. It's a show. It's like, you know what?
It's like sex with
George
you.
George Clooney wasn't really a doctor, okay?
You know what?
I'm sorry to disappoint you, but all those years on ER, he was faking it. Really a doctor.
I don't even like this podcast anymore.
Well, you know, this podcast isn't really a podcast.
Well, that you've got that part right.
I can't afford therapy. That's so I come out here and talk, and I need to talk.
Okay.
But
all right.
The problem I had with Andy Kaufman is much of the things of his that I saw, the joke was on the audience. And that just seems to be the opposite of entertainment. Like I heard about, he'd go up on stage with a sleeping bag. Oh, you got 3 minutes. And he would put the sleeping bag down, get in it, set his timer for 3 minutes, and take a nap. And you think about it now, and it's like, yeah, it's kind of funny from the comedian's point of view. But from the audience point of view, fuck you, dude. I paid $10 for a cover and have to buy 2 drinks. Dance, monkey.
Let me just say this. Some comics I've seen at open mics, I would have preferred them to climb into a fucking sleeping bag for 3 minutes and not say a word.
That's actually a really good point.
So, he probably did some of them a favor.
That's possibly.
So, any of you that have been to an LA open mic can completely identify with what I'm saying.
Yeah, that's true. I mean, I've been to several open mics down in LA, and you are right. There are a few of the comedians, and I use that term as loosely as John Holmes's girlfriend's vagina is.
Wow.
And while wearing a condom.
Wow.
It just stretched just a little bit more space.
This is
not the super thin ones from nowadays. We're talking the lambskin.
Wow.
You know.
It's getting graphic.
Anyway.
Jesus.
I use the term comic loosely for some of these people. Because honestly, okay. Different people think that different things are funny. That's fine. However, some people just aren't
funny.
And I've been up on stage and not been funny when especially when I first started doing comedy. I mean, I don't know about you, but I have some jokes that I'm embarrassed that I thought was funny. Like I used to do this bit about James Bond's brother who kept getting arrested, named Bail Bond, and
wow.
His, His grandfather, who was a veteran of World War II, called War Bond.
Jesus.
Yeah, I actually thought that was funny when I first. I was, oh, that's clever. No, no, because see, Bond and Bond, it's yeah, like, oh, yeah. Hilarity ensues.
It's like a joke, only different.
Yeah, only different, only not funny. And I realize now, and maybe that's the problem. Maybe some of those people just don't realize that what they're doing is making people hate comedy clubs.
Well, here's the thing. An open mic is a growth process.
That is true. That is true. Well, you know, that's probably why so many open mics are either $3 or free.
Right.
Because they know they're not the audience isn't necessarily going to get a good show. So the club, they sacrifice a good show, a guaranteed good show, for the fact that they get the entertainment free.
Well, there's a
and they just make their money off of drinks.
There's a reason for open mics. And here's my theory on why open mics are important. And if you're a comic, why you need to go to open mics. An open mic isn't about a show.
That's true.
It shouldn't be about a show. It shouldn't be advertised as a show. It should be an open mic. It should be a forum. There shouldn't be any judging. There shouldn't be any of that. I used an open mic. When I go to an open mic, I use it properly. I use it to test material. And I'm not talking about testing to see if it gets laughs, because an open mic isn't where you gauge laughter.
Yeah, you have three people in the audience. No, the joke might be great, and you're not going to get a lot of laughter because people just are afraid.
Right. I would say after 10 years, if you've been doing comedy at any click, click meaning speed, meaning you've gotten enough stage time, you know if something's funny. You know if you're on to something.
Yeah, yeah.
So if you've gone through the growth process up into that point, when I was rehearsing to do Comedy Time TV, I did every open mic I could find, regardless where, when, what. And all I was trying to do was go through an exercise on how I was going to word every bit, what order it was going to go into, and take any of the curse words out.
Right.
I used it as an exercise. If you've been in the game for a while, that's what you use it for. If you're just starting in the game, you're learning how to hold a microphone. You're learning how to even put a joke together. You're learning. It's not about being funny. It's not about a show. And anybody that advertises an open mic as a show is an idiot.
Yeah. Well, you know, it's like no one takes a creative writing class and comes out having written a novel.
Yeah, you're not going to see Stephen King in a creative
way. Yeah. Anyway, on that note, we're going to take a break real quick. I am JT Foreman here with Terry, Old Man Terry,
the Beast. I'm Old Man. I went from Beast to Old Man. No.
You damn whippersnappers and you're open mic. What are you doing? Terry the Beast Michaels. We're the Bitter Comics, and we'll be right back. This is JT Foreman here with Terry Michaels. We are the Bitter Comics, and Terry is chewing into the microphone, even though he hates that shit.
I'm chewing away from the microphone.
That's true. You are, actually, because when I called him today and texted Terry earlier about coming over to do the show, he was like, "Will there be chips?" And I thought, "Okay, yes, there will be chips." And I sent him a text back saying, "Yes, there will be chips." And he said he was coming, and then I had to run to the store real quick and buy chips.
I was
going to
say, was there chips when you committed to chips?
Well, there were chips in the apartment, but not potato chips. I have some Cheetos, I have some nacho chips, and some salsa.
Cheetos,
crunchy, the crunchy Cheetos, not the puffs. Oh, the puffs are some gay ass shit.
Hey, okay? I like the fucking puffs. All right.
Well,
really, you saying I'm gay? Really?
Well, you're closer to gay than I am because your daughter is a lesbian.
How does that associate?
You have a direct relative who's a homosexual.
You're sure standing on a ladder to reach for that, aren't you?
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah. I'm a little jealous.
Oh yeah, it was fun. It's all good.
Well, you know, you get to borrow her porn, and
I'm sorry.
Wow.
Now you're
gonna. You know what? I'll apologize to lesbian porn next week. You were saying that your daughter is the butch in her relationship, so
I think so.
That's awesome.
She was talking about having a kid, her and her girlfriend.
Yeah,
they're going to get donors and things. Oh,
okay,
like that.
Cool.
And I asked my daughter. I said, "So I'm sorry. Who's gonna carry the The baby. Are you going to carry the baby, or is, you know, your girlfriend?
Take turns, maybe?
And my daughter, quote unquote, said, yeah, fuck all that.
That's awesome.
I think we know who's carrying the kid.
Do you know what? Give this high five to your daughter for me.
All right. Well, all right, I'll pass that on.
Well, you know, that's a thing I think. If a woman were ever to come to me and ask me if I would donate the sperm for her to have a child, I would be horribly offended to the point that I don't think my ego would ever recover from it. Because artificial insemination costs like $15,000. And so basically this woman is saying, you know what? Yes, I do want to have a kid with you, but I'm willing to pay 15 grand to not fuck you.
Yes.
And I don't think my ego could handle that. I'd rather just not know how little attracted to me a person is than to find out that they'd be willing to pay $15,000 to not have sex with me.
Joel, how selfish are you?
I'm pretty selfish.
How much sperm do you waste on a daily basis?
Oh, lots.
See? See? And then you get a lesbian that wants your help. Or maybe it's not even a lesbian. Maybe it's just a...
Well, you know, yeah, she wants my help, but I would like to save her $15,000.
Oh, yeah. Oh, okay. It's all about her, folks. It's all about her.
Yeah, I mean, well, you know, she's the one who wants to be a mom.
Yeah. Yeah.
What am I talking about? There's no one asking me for my sperm right now. I don't know what I'm talking about.
A box of Kleenex.
Yeah, a box of Kleenex.
A shower drain.
Yeah, I bought a bunch of ripped up t-shirts. I used a rag. I got the rag out of the back of my car. It's so greasy.
Oh.
I needed lube anyways. Oh, I'm sorry. That's horrible. You know, we go up to the edge and I always push it right over the side. I'm sorry.
I think I know why we have so many listeners.
So I'm going to be apologizing to rags next week. And everyone is going to be confused. What kind of rag are you apologizing to?
No, they'll know. They'll know.
Anyway, what were we talking about before? A TV show.
We were talking about open mics.
Oh, yeah, open mics, and you said you wanted to talk about showcase shows.
The difference, you know, anybody that expects a show from an open mic is a fool. You go there and it's an open mic, read the flyer.
Yeah, yeah.
You know what I mean? But a showcase, that's completely different. Showcase is when you know what you're doing and you want to put it out there. You're asking to be judged at that point. You know, that's how the music industry discovered bands. They would have showcases. And these bands would put on showcases and invite record execs down. Well, that's not an open mic. They're not, well, we're going to test out this new song.
Yeah.
You know, and, you know, now like the Comedy Store does, you know, their showcase, their weekly showcase of whoever. Now, granted, it's a bringer show, but it still is a showcase. You're not going to bring 20 of your friends to L.A., to the main room for an open mic.
Yeah, that's true.
So, you know, there's a difference. Now, if you go to Showcase and it's a shitty show, well, yeah, you've got something to complain about, I think.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. Well, you know, the showcases that I've been to down in L.A. were pretty good. I went a couple of times. There's one you did at John Lovitz Comedy Club.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And there's one that I went with Danny Minch down to the Improv in Hollywood. And, all the comedians on both of those were really good.
Yeah, it's a showcase. You're there to put yourself out there.
Yeah, yeah.
An open mic, you're not. You know, you're hoping that there's nobody out there that you know. You know what I mean? My God, I don't want
anyone knowing that I actually think this stuff.
It took me 4 months to fix a bit that started off entirely different. It was all because of open mics. It was all experimental, and 80% of it wasn't funny.
Well, you know, I still like that bit how it originally was, the idea of calling Satan on the phone. The bit we're talking about, Terry has this one about a neighbor trimming his tree with a chainsaw while standing on one foot on the top of a stool.
Standing on a stool, jumping, yeah.
Yeah.
It happened. True. Yeah. True, it happened.
Awesome.
Wow.
Well, okay, so earlier we were also talking about Sons of Anarchy.
Yes.
And how, you know, when I first saw Sons of Anarchy, I was like, I want to go get a motorcycle right now. It's just like this, right? And, of course, I'm sure it's not. But.
It's not. No, I ride a motorcycle, and we don't do any of that. I don't deal any drugs, run any guns.
No, I'm sorry to hear that. Sorry. Well, you know, I did used to have a scooter, and I really enjoyed it. It was a lot of fun riding. It was great getting 75 miles to the gallon.
Yeah, absolutely. That's a great thing about a motorcycle. You get 50 miles to the gallon.
And then, but the thing in Sons of Anarchy is that they have this sign in the chapel, I believe was the term that they use for the meeting room. It says, you don't ride, you don't vote.
Right.
And the old dude with the gas tank, he's on the trike.
Yeah, still riding.
He's still riding. That counts? That seems like it's cheating to me.
It might be, but he's still up. He's still up.
Yeah.
That's what they call it.
Yeah, that's true.
I mean, you can't vote now.
Well, no, he was killed by the...
He got shot. Clay shot his ass.
Oh, spoiler alert from 2 years ago.
So, yeah, no. If you're in a bike club and there's voting going on, if you don't ride, you don't vote.
Yeah, yeah. But, I still would like to go and get a scooter again just because I really enjoyed riding it, and it was a lot cheaper to operate than a car is. It was a lot of fun. But
you want to start a club, a Sons of Anarchy club on scooters?
Yeah. You know, I think that would be retarded stepson of anarchy. Redheaded stepchild of anarchy.
Cousin.
Riding on the scooters.
Cousins of anarchy. Cream puffs of anarchy. Yeah, something like that. You don't scoot, you don't vote.
Yeah, stepson of not quite organized. It's not really anarchy. It's just, you know, we could use a little bit more organization.
Yeah,
but, you know, considering the Sons of Anarchy, they got a lot of rules.
Oh yeah,
for Sons of Anarchy.
Absolutely. Yeah.
I mean, so it's not very anarchic. It's pretty pretty rigid. Exactly. I mean, they got some pretty rigid requirements for that particular organization.
They can vote to kill you.
Yeah, yeah.
It usually doesn't happen in most clubs.
Yeah, when I was in the science club in high school,
Alan Foreman can't get that.
We only did that. We only had 3 votes, and neither of them got approved. So,
yeah, the Mickey Mouse Club. They don't ever kill anybody in that.
Yeah, club. Well, you know what? It's I never realized how seriously science geeks take it that you put the microscope back.
Well, hey, they'll jerk your ass in the parking lot. Yeah. I don't care.
Did you forget to clean the slides again? God damn it!
Yeah, no. They'll go. What's the name of that show? I love this the show. I call it the Nerd Show.
Call
it the Nerd Show.
Big Bang Theory.
Yes, I love that show.
I've never seen it.
Really?
Yeah.
It disappoints me, Joel.
No, I'm sorry.
You would absolutely love that.
Well,
show.
I don't have television. I have the internet.
I'm sure it's on Netflix. You can watch it on Netflix.
I'll take a look.
It's almost like you.
A couple of nerds living next door to a hot chick that they never get to have sex with.
Right. Well, one of them does.
It's my life.
Sex with, but, but no, they're into Star Wars and Star Trek and gaming and all this kind of stuff. It's you.
That's true. You know, I really did enjoy playing role playing games. I didn't have a problem with the game so much as the people you end up playing with.
Right.
There's
right.
just some strange people that I
dungeon masters into. That were dickheads.
Yeah. Well, you know, the last time I played, a guy got pissed off at me and threatened to beat me up because I wouldn't take 20 points of damage. It was a group of guys I'd never played with before, and they've been playing together for a while, and so I asked them, well, what kind of character should I play? And they said, well, anything you want is fine. I was like, okay, well, I'll play a paladin who's like this holy warrior all
right.
Fighting for good. Oh. So I make the character join the party, and one of the other members is like, well, what's his alignment? And, you know, how do you look at a person and say he's good or he's evil? You don't know what their alignment is.
Right.
And then the DM tells him, and he says, I attack. And he attacks me, and he hits, and he rolls the damage. I take 24 points of damage. And I asked the guy being the dungeon master, well, why did you tell him my alignment? And he says, oh, well, he's an anti-paladin, which is like a holy warrior for evil. So I guess like a warrior with no holes something.
Just a warrior.
And so he would be automatically my archenemy as soon as we meet. But he has this ability to tell when someone is a goody-two-shoes.
A goody-two-shoes?
Yeah. And I was like, well, why did you let me make a paladin if there is an evil paladin in the party? He says, well, the whole party is evil. Why did you let me make this character that would be the archenemy of the entire group? And then the guy who had his character attack me stands up over me and says, I said take 24 points of damage. You take that damage right now or I'm going to kick your ass. And so I just got up and I left. So yeah, it's the same thing I hear people say about drugs. They don't have a problem with drugs so much as the people you end up doing drugs with. I don't have a problem with the role playing game. It's just the people you end up playing the game with.
You know, after you left, they all fucked your character.
Probably. They probably did. With my sword, no doubt. And that's
Jeffrey Dahmer'd his ass.
they probably cut him up and had him for dinner.
What kind of fight would be with guys that play D&D? You just wake up with a 20-sided die up your ass.
Yeah, pretty much.
So what the hell happened last night?
Achoo! What? You look down and you just rolled a 14.
This is awesome. You better take that 14 points of damage or I'm going to kick your ass.
I'll put it back in your nose. The fuck? On that note, we're going to take a break again real quick. I'm JT Foreman here with Terry Michaels.
You better take that 20 points of damage.
Damn it.
JT.
We'll, or the Bitter Comics, and we'll be right back. That sounds like a great idea. This is JT Foreman here with Terry Michaels. We're the Bitter Comics, and we're back. I was just telling Terry about this movie I saw called The Gamers, Darkness Rising. And, the scene of the movie goes back and forth between the gamers sitting around the table playing Dungeons & Dragons and the fantasy world where they're actually, they're out adventuring and killing orcs and goblins and stuff.
And dragons.
And the bard keeps rolling his seduction roll and seducing the priestess in the party, who is, of course, a female character being played by a male person. So this guy keeps seducing another guy. And, in the fantasy world, you see them, every couple of minutes, it seems like they'd, jump behind a rock and screw each other. It's pretty funny.
And for all those of you that understand what Joel just said, you're probably jacking off right now.
Probably.
Just saying. Roll for seduction of his own dick.
Exactly. So, Terry, you completed your training and have acquired your commercial driver's license.
That's right. Class A, bitches.
So you are a trucker now.
I have a Class A driver's license.
I have a Class C license. It lets me drive a motorcycle.
No, that's Class M.
M? Are you sure?
Positive.
Okay, I'll take your word for it.
You can trust me on that.
I'll take your word. Well, you don't have that though.
I don't.
But you have a motorcycle.
I do.
You will get that soon though. I'm
absolutely
certain.
This summer I'll get that.
But so you got hired by a certain company that I'll let you decide whether you want to
Swift
name them.
Fucking transportation cocksuckers.
Tell us about your 2 week adventure.
Here's how they work this, Joel. First, they have you go down to your local terminal closest to your home. They keep you there for 3 days. They put you through physicals, drug tests, other tests, written tests for hazmat, hazardous materials, put you through safety classes, intimidate you, have the CHP come in and talk to you, all sorts of shit. Then by the third day, they decide whether you're hired or not. Once they hire you, they give you your driver code. Then they send you out on the road for 6 weeks with a quote-unquote mentor. And you have to live with them in this truck for 6 weeks.
Okay.
Yeah, yeah. It's like gay prison is what it sounds
Yeah,
like.
Yeah, kind of.
So I get with my mentor. He picks me up here in Fresno. We head out. Our first run is to New Orleans.
Okay.
That's where we're headed. So we're headed on 10 East. Nice, easy freeway, nothing going on. It's a Friday.
Yeah, it's not a lot, especially going through Arizona and Texas. It's, there's not a whole lot of scenery. It's just a straight shot, flat ground, easy driving.
No problem. Well, Swift wants you to drive 6 hours a day.
Okay. That seems reasonable. You're new. You got to learn, got to get some wheel time.
So the first day, I get hooked up with this owner-operator. So what that is he owns the truck. He's leasing or buying the truck from Swift. He makes runs for them, and he gets paid on a differently right. than I would get paid
right.
as a quote-unquote company driver. So I get in his truck. We're talking. We're just getting acquainted. I said, yeah, well, they want me to drive 6 hours a day. He said, it's my truck. I'll decide how long you drive a day. Oh, okay. All right. So already we're going to live by a different set of rules.
Oh, that's a good sign.
Yeah. And I'm like, okay, well, whatever. You're going to be a prick about it. It's fine. I'm not going to argue with you. Fine. You want me to sit in the passenger seat and watch you drive and I'll get paid? I'm cool with that for first day, you know. Entire first day, I sit in the passenger seat for 9 hours.
Okay.
Listening to him tell me all these students he's thrown off of his truck. All right, whatever. Second day comes. Halfway through the day, I'm still haven't driven. So we're still on I-10.
Okay.
We've gone through Lake Havasu, which is a very nice place. Go through Havasu. Now we're in, I want to say it's Elroy, Arizona, about an hour outside of Phoenix. We pull over. He says, okay, you're taking over. All right, no problem. He wants me to drive through downtown Phoenix, the first time I've ever driven a 70-foot-long truck. Truck and trailer.
You're going to eat. What time of day were you driving through there?
Oh, yeah. 3 o'clock in the afternoon.
Oh, great. Okay. Well, as long as it's rush hour. Yeah. You know.
On a 3-day weekend. So we get into Phoenix. Of course, there's road work. So now the lanes have moved me over and all sorts of crazy shit. People are cutting me off. I don't know how to shift his truck properly because it's the first 3 hours I've been in the truck. He's yelling at me next to me. So I said to him, I go, look, you yell at me one more time, I'm going to pull this truck over and you and I are going to have a problem. So you're going to freak me out. I'm going to wreck this truck and somebody's going to get hurt. So you need to shut up and let me drive. Period.
Yeah.
Nobody likes to be yelled at when they drive a car.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, I'm trying to concentrate.
Yeah, that's when my girlfriend always chooses to yell at me for something that she's imagined I did wrong.
Yeah, I mean, I'm loaded down with 42,000 pounds worth of produce in a 53-foot trailer, and I'm doing 65 miles an hour down a freeway. I'm a missile.
Yeah.
Stop yelling at me, prick.
Yeah, pretty much. I bet he said something clever, like, make sure you take someone with you.
Yes. He says, you don't need to be nervous if you're going to wreck. Make sure you take someone with you.
Wow, what a dick.
Yeah, that sounds safe. So those of you that have children and are by Swift trucks, make sure if they look like they're going to crash, get the fuck out of the way.
Well, you know, now I understand why he's an owner-operator, because nobody would hire him to drive their truck.
Right, exactly. So the guy's been driving 26 years, expects me to drive as good as him in 10 minutes. So we pull over, and I'm trying to talk to him. I'm like, look, man, you can't talk to me like that when I'm driving, blah, blah, blah. He tells me basically tough shit. I call my driver trainer. You need to give me a different mentor because this isn't working. She tells me tough shit, too. Next day, I'm dozing off in the passenger seat. I kind of wake up. I look over. He's texting while he's driving.
You know, that's a bad idea in a car, but someone in a 70-foot truck.
Yeah, that's really bad.
That's just freaking stupid.
Yeah, so then he's eating a fruit salad. The fruit salad is on the floor next to him. He's literally bending his head down past to where the windshield would be and coming up and eating and weaving in to the other lane, no turn signal.
Is he dipping the fruit in something?
Yeah, no, just okay. Eating it.
At least he's not dipping the fruit in something.
Yeah,
too.
Whipped cream or some shit.
Yeah, well, if he had a little cup of whipped cream or caramel down there, I'd be like, all right, this is bullshit. You know, as long as he's not dipping, I think it's okay.
So, but he's weaving because he's taking his eyes off the road. And I'm like, okay, that's it.
Well, as long as he takes someone with him.
Yeah, I'm done. Because the person he's going to take with him is me.
Yeah.
We get to El Paso, Texas. I start packing my truck. I start packing my stuff out of the truck. He's like, where are you going? I said, I'm done. I called my driver trainer. So I'm telling you right now, you need to give me another mentor. I'm in El Paso, Texas. Give me another mentor. She said, no. And I said, then give me a bus ticket home because I fucking quit. I'm done. I said, this guy's going to kill me, kill somebody else. I don't want to train with somebody like that.
Yeah, yeah.
I don't want to be responsible for killing someone else because this guy's screaming at me while I'm trying to drive.
Yeah.
So,
When you say the person on the phone, he's texting while he's driving.
That's exactly
what I said.
What
part of that do you not understand?
Yeah. I said, you know, we had a safety meeting, and they told us if we text while we drove, we'd get fired.
Yeah.
I said, I'm telling you, this guy was texting and driving, eating and driving, talking on the phone while he's driving. All three you've told us not to do.
Yeah.
I said, so you're going to tell me too bad. So I'm telling you, fuck off. I'm not doing it.
Yeah.
So that's how that ended.
Well, he's an owner-operator, so he gets to do whatever he wants in his own truck.
Pretty much what she hinted at.
Well, you know, I tell you what, have me mentor with someone who is a company driver.
That's what I said. Get me into a company truck.
So I mean, that's what I would have done. That's what I would do anyways. I mean, I would have you going out with someone with a company driver, not with someone who's an owner-operator. Because, you know, everyone who's a... All right, now I'm going to talk shit about private business people here now. Everyone who owns a business of their own, and I think an owner-operator of a truck would be qualified in that, thinks they know everything in the world.
Absolutely, he does.
And they've never done anything wrong in their entire life. Everything they think is right. Otherwise, why else am I so successful? Mm-hmm. So they will not listen to anything you have to say.
No, absolutely not.
And you know what? Honestly, it sounds like that guy wants the extra money he gets from training people, but doesn't actually want to train people, so he does all this bullshit on purpose to drive away. I mean, you said he was bragging about all the trainers that he's kicked off, he's kicked off his truck.
Quote unquote, he said he doesn't like snitches.
Yeah, well, you know what? You don't have to worry about getting snitched on if you don't break the rules.
Dude, I'm only here 6 weeks. Obey the rules for 6 weeks and then go do whatever you want to do when I'm not around.
Yeah, well, you know, I remember I answered an ad for a job that they told me on the phone, no, it's not a sales job. What your job is, people have already purchased the item and then you take it and show them how to use it. So your training is just to show you how to use the product. It was a vacuum cleaner, of course.
Oh, I was going
to
say it's a vacuum cleaner.
And so I go there and I go through the stuff and everything the guy told me turned out to be not true. It's like, oh no, you're not selling things. Yeah, you're selling things. Oh, you're not going. You're not going to be cold showing up at people's door. They've already made appointments. Oh, there's no appointments. Oh no, you're not going to be walking around neighborhoods knocking on the doors trying to get just cold calling trying to get people to let you sell. And then the very first day we go out. Drives us out in the bus and out to the middle of Visalia, drops us off and says, all right, go start knocking on doors. I was like, this is everything that you said, that I said I didn't want to do, that you said right. I wasn't going to have to do. We're doing it all.
Right.
And you know, so this is what you, it's so it was all a lie. And then the next day, I go in the morning and I go talk to the secretary there. I was like, yeah, you know what? I this isn't going to work out. I just wanted to give you guys a notice that I'm not going to do this job anymore. She asked me why. I said, well, everything that you guys told me is a lie. It was a Kirby, by the way, and Clovis Kirby vacuum cleaners. That's who lied to me about everything. When they hired me, K-I-R-B-Y. And you know, the really sad thing is, it actually is a great machine. It's a great vacuum cleaner. It gets the rug really clean, picks up dirt really, really well. It's a great piece of equipment. It just, their sales method is freaking evil.
Man, they suck.
Yes, but, you know, so she goes and says, okay, well, give me just 1 minute. And she goes and gets the guy who I had interviewed with in the first place and who conducted the training. And he gets in my face about, I never lied to you about anything. And I was like, dude, yes, you did. Everything you told me was a lie. I said, man, I'll kick your ass if you don't take all that back. And I just got up and left.
Everybody wants to kick your ass,
Joel. I know. You know, I feel like I'm a nice guy. I don't know why everyone wants to.
You better
to
take those 24 points of damage, Joel.
Yeah, I better take the 24 points
of damage. Hold on. I'm going to roll for seduction. Hang on just 1 second.
I'm going to seduce the Kirby guy. What exactly are you going to do with that vacuum cleaner? Do you have a special attachment for that? So, yeah, you know, I don't understand. I don't understand why. You know, if you can't trust your employer, why are they so surprised that you're going to leave? Like he was like seemed to be shocked at my reaction to it. You know what? It should have clued me in where the first day of the training there was 25 people there, and the second day of training there's only 12 people there.
Oh yeah.
At that point, I should have realized. Yeah, you know what? I shouldn't waste my time with these people.
Yeah, attrition.
Yeah, pretty much. And so. So I did that for 1 day and left, and the 1 day that I did go out with some of the other guys to try to sell the vacuum cleaners, some of the guys there had been doing it for a while, and they were actually bragging about things they'd done to fool people into getting them to buy these vacuum cleaners.
Oh, nice.
And I said to him, you know, that's kind of bullshit that, you know, you're lying to these people and that's not right. And everyone started thinking, what, you're going to snitch on us? You know, we've got a code. And I just said to him, you know what? a code? A code of thievery?
Don't fuck with a Kirby salesman.
So I said, well, you know what? If you were honest, you wouldn't need a code because there wouldn't be anything for people, you know, the code of silence. You know, this Omerta. it's the Kirby mob.
Wow.
Yeah, keep that quiet. Yeah. Everyone thinks they're a fucking gangster or something. I don't know what the hell. Word.
Absolutely.
Anyway, so don't work for either Swift.
Or Kirby.
You know, with the way corporations are intertwined nowadays, it wouldn't surprise me if they're both owned by the same people.
Swift, where safety is paramount.
Exactly.
That's their creed, where safety is paramount.
Well, you know, it's an owner-operator. He's not really for Swift. He's not really Swift, so there
Take
you go.
Take someone with you. That should be their motto.
On that note, we're going to take a break again real quick. I am JT Foreman, here with Terry the Beast Michaels. We are the Bitter Comics, and we'll be right back. This is JT Foreman here with Terry Michaels, the Beast, Terry Michaels. We are the Bitter Comics, and we're back. All right, let's do a couple of news stories before we go.
The news!
Eeny, meeny, miny, moe, catch a tiger. Okay, let's start with this.
Did you just say ho?
Catch a tiger by the ho.
Presenting the V-Slider, the high-impact video ad that always...
Sorry.
Wow.
You know what? That's that was an ad on this webpage that has the news story I'm looking at. Sorry about that. Woman demands men perform oral sex while threatening them with a butcher knife.
Fuck yes.
I love the picture they have of this woman here. It's just like this fat, pissed off looking woman wearing these giant red granny panties and an Incredible Hulk glove, fist glove on her right hand.
Jesus.
Yeah, check this picture out.
Wow.
I will put a link to this in the show notes.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
Wow.
Melissa Lee Williams, aged 41.
That's a huge bitch.
That's a big bitch. Melissa Lee Williams, age 41, confronted her ex-husband and his friend at a small motel. And his friend at a small motel with a butcher knife and demanded that they perform oral sex on her. Either that or she threatened to cut their throats.
Jesus Christ.
Okay, the incident took place at the 77 Motor Inn located in Ripley, West Virginia. West Virginia. We love you.
The Ripley Motor Inn.
Where both Melissa Lee Williams and her former husband, Danny Williams, separately called home. So both of them live in that motel.
Nice. So they're classy people.
But they're divorced, yet they live close to each other, probably so that they can both have visitation with the kids easily.
Oh, yeah. Yes.
I hope she doesn't.
Wow, that's really giving somebody the benefit of the doubt, Joel. That's nice.
That's right. Lee Williams is said to have arrived at Danny Williams' motel room highly intoxicated, carrying a butcher knife. Without being invited into the room, she walked in and said, "Eat my pussy," and began to undress, unprompted.
Wow.
Soon she was nude, laying on the bed. The ex-husband had no interest in rekindling his old flame. But his friend Adam Watson was happy to fill Melissa Williams' order. Oh my God.
Nice.
Adam Watson, there is a picture of the thing whose pussy you ate on the internet. Melissa Lee Williams, unable to handle the mutual rejection. Oh, wait, here it was. That was until, according to a report, Watson began to walk towards Melissa Williams and he became overwhelmed by horrible vaginal odor and quickly retreated.
Wow, he hide behind a couch or...
Someone needs to hose that bitch down. Melissa Lee Williams, unable to handle the mutual rejection, stood up and grabbed the butcher knife. She then bellowed, "Somebody is going to eat my pussy, or I'm going to cut your fucking throat."
Woo!
Despite the intoxicated state, the two males knew Lee Williams' propensity for violence and correctly called law enforcement to intervene. Okay, so anyway.
I
want
to hear that 911 call.
She was charged with brandishing a deadly weapon and domestic assault.
As well as having a nasty pussy.
Found guilty of domestic assault on and was sentenced to 90 days in jail.
And a shower.
Yeah, and a shower. You know what? The other inmates at the prison, I'm sure, will take care of that. Someone's going to eat my pussy. Somebody's going to eat my pussy here. I'm going to cut your fucking throat.
Wow.
Wow. The crazy thing is, despite that picture, which you saw.
Yeah, no.
The other dude, Adam Watson, was like, all right. Until he got close enough to smell it, and I was like, ah.
He was just trying to be a hero, Joel.
Yeah, well, you know, he could have said, you know, I saved my friend's life.
We
you
know, don't need another hero.
I want him as my wingman. When I go out, oh, I want him shit. To be my wingman. God
damn.
All we want is what's beyond the coochie zone. Okay, that's disgusting. All right, moving on. New Mexico bill calls post-rape abortion evidence tampering.
What the fuck?
A New Mexico lawmaker has proposed legislation to classify an abortion after a sexual assault as tampering with evidence.
Is this dude a Republican?
This woman is a Republican.
Oh, I'm sorry. This dumb cunt.
Yeah. Let's see. House Bill 206 in the New Mexico State House of Representatives. Representative Catherine M. Brown of Carlsbad saying victims of sexual assault could be charged with a felony if they sought an abortion after rape or incest. Well, you see, you need the woman to keep the baby because that's the evidence that the woman was raped.
Right, right. I got it.
House Bill 206 was never intended to punish or criminalize rape victims, Brown said in a statement. Its intent is solely to deter rape and cases of incest. The rapist, not the victim, would be charged with tampering of evidence. What?
Yeah. Okay, how does that work?
If you rape a woman...
She goes and has an abortion.
She goes and has an abortion. Now, in addition to being charged with rape...
Now you're tampering with evidence.
Now you're charged with tampering with evidence. And this is intended to deter you from raping someone. I'd say, you know, I would rape you.
But...
And if it was just getting busted for rape and spending 20 years in jail for that, But you know what? The $500 fine for tampering with evidence, I just can't handle that. You know what? I'm going to open another savings account.
I'm going to save up.
I'm going to set up direct deposit to send some money in there every week.
$10 a week. $10 a week.
And in a couple of years, once I've saved, I'm going to put this rape on layaway.
So you just stand right here. Stand right. Jesus.
Democrats control both chambers of the legislature, so the legislation has no chance of passing.
Attention, Republicans. There was a guy who was on TV. I want to say it was the former vice presidential candidate for the Republican Party, who said the main problem with the Republican Party is stupid candidates and stupid statements. We have to stop being the stupid party. I think that's the case and closed right there.
That was Bobby Jindal. He is the governor of Louisiana.
Okay, well, there you go. I would say a case in point.
Yes.
Stupid party.
Stupid party. You know what? As someone who is more inclined to root for the Democrats, I would like to encourage the Republican Party to stick to their guns.
Yeah, absolutely. Keep it up, guys.
Doing a great job.
Make sure you piss off rape victims. That's how you get elected, by the way. I don't know if you guys did. That's how the Democrats have done it the last two things. I don't know if you guys have known that.
Yeah, so. Both the last couple elections, the only reason the Democrats hung on to the Senate is because the Republican Party keeps putting up these crazy people.
Yeah, yeah.
In House, in Senate races where they're expected to win.
Jesus Christ.
Okay, House Bill 206 says, tampering with evidence consists of destroying, changing, hiding, placing, or fabricating any physical evidence with intent to prevent the apprehension, prosecution, or conviction of any person or to throw suspicion of the commission of a crime upon another. B, Tampering with evidence shall include procuring or facilitating an abortion or compelling or coercing another to obtain an abortion of a fetus that is the result of criminal sexual penetration or incest with the intent to destroy the evidence of the crime. See, wow. She said it's to charge the rapist, but reading this clearly, it is to charge whoever decided to get the abortion or talk the person into getting an abortion.
Yeah, she doesn't know what the fuck she's talking about.
So the rapist is only, you know, that'd be great. Yeah, okay. Yes, I raped you. But, you know, neither of us is really ready to be a parent. And even though I'm going to be convicted of tampering with evidence, I'm willing to make that sacrifice.
I've got the $500.
I think that both of us, you know, I actually have $1,000 because the abortion is going to be $500. And then the fine for tampering with evidence is going to be another $500.
Plus, I'm going to do
I got it all covered, and I'll see you in 20 years.
I'm going to do 20 years with a dick in my ass.
Exactly.
That, you know what? That's a lot for pussy.
That's
you just pay for it. I'm just saying.
Pretty much. You know, you could probably get it for less than the $500 fine for tampering with evidence.
I'm just saying. It's, you know, and if you get caught doing that, it's a misdemeanor. I'm just saying. Jesus Christ, it's a ticket.
So I hear.
Fuck.
All right, that's good. Okay, one more news story.
Check off. Anyway, go ahead. I'm sorry.
All right, here we go. St. Pearl. Okay. A St. Paul man recently purchased an assault rifle out of fear of an impending gun ban threat. So he just bought this AK-47. It's like, okay. You know, after the Newtown massacre,
right.
He's like, you know what, they're going to ban assault weapons. Okay, I better buy one now while they're still legal.
Sure.
And so he goes and he buys an assault rifle. And then his daughter comes home from school and she has two B's. On her report card.
It's going to be bad.
And instead of having the straight A's. So, dad pulls the gun on her.
Oh, my God.
Yes, this St. Paul girl was allegedly threatened in her house with a gun her father had recently purchased. Dad pulled an AK-47 out on her because she got two B's instead of straight A's on her report card. Allegedly.
Allegedly.
Kirill Bartashevich, age 51.
Russian.
Yeah, well, you know, he bought an AK-47, and his name sounds Russian, so I guess that's why he bought an AK-47.
Probably helped design it.
You know, I remember listening to Stephanie Miller. She's a liberal talk show host on the radio. She was talking about someone who had called in and threatened, because she was so un-American, he was going to shove an AK-47 up her ass. And I remember her reaction to this was, well, if your problem is that I'm so un-American, shouldn't you use an M16? I mean, why are you going to use a Russian weapon on me if I'm not if I'm not American enough? You know, I think you're un-American for having a Russian designed assault rifle. If you were really an American, you would either have an M16 or a Bushmaster because that's what the American military uses.
Absolutely. Preach on. Preach on, Susan Miller.
Yeah, so this guy, she had two B's, his daughter had two B's and didn't have straight A's, so he pulled an AK-47 on her. He was charged with two felony counts of terroristic threats after allegedly pointing an AK-47 at his daughter and wife during an argument over high school grades. Yeah, so there we go.
Now, attention gun nuts.
I don't understand how someone can be both a gun nut and a Jesus freak at the same time. Okay. Attention gun nuts. Terry has something to say.
Attention gun nuts. Listen to this story. This man bought this weapon legally. Legally.
Yes.
And then pointed it at his own kid. So therefore, your argument that says banning assault rifles will not keep the weapons out of people that shouldn't have them is bullshit. I'm just saying. He bought it legally and he shouldn't have it. It shouldn't even have existed. He shouldn't have been able to buy it in the first place. You don't need assault rifles.
Well,
thank you. Good night.
Thank you. Now, in his defense, dad was yelling at the girl, and the girl did swear at her father and stated that she, quote, hated him. Well, and that's when he pulled the gun.
Well, I'm sure she really likes
the gun. He didn't pull the gun on her until after she said she hated him.
Well, what the fuck? Why are we?
Well, you wouldn't pull your gun on your daughter that loves you.
Yeah, why are we even charging him? I'm sorry. I take back everything I said.
Okay, remember, Jesus said, spare the rod, spoil the child. He did not say, spare the AK-47, spoil the child, okay? So you're supposed to hit her with a rod, not shoot her with a semiotic weapon.
Oh, wow.
So there we go, and that's the news.
And that's the news.
That's the news. yay! Okay, wow. So Terry, you got anything exciting coming up?
I am going to be at Teasers March 1st.
Oh, cool, cool.
I will be at Vinny's Super Bowl Sunday night.
Cool.
That should be fucking exciting.
So they're doing a comedy show after the game or before the game?
After.
After the game?
That should be
cool. Yeah, I'm sure everyone's going to be thrilled. Let's see. If the 49ers win...
It's going to be mayhem.
It's going to be mayhem. And if the 49ers lose, it's going to be worse.
Yes. So this should be a fun gig. And by the way, I did see a story real quick about the guy from the Ravens, Ray Lewis, retiring, Super Bowl, has had a great career. Now they're saying that he injured himself earlier in the season. People are saying that he took... PEDs, performance-enhancing drugs. Now, he's never tested positive for it. They test him all the time. They test him after an injury to make sure that that doesn't happen. The man is going to retire. He's done nothing but help football. He's a very nice individual. You see him on the – he's a good example of what a football player should be.
Yeah.
My point of this is, if Jesus came back today and he was in a position of power and popular, somebody would try and find some shit on him just to make him look bad.
That's true. That's true.
I'm so tired of that. Leave these people alone.
Yeah, you know, if someone actually does something wrong, you know what? That should be exposed. Absolutely.
But don't look for it.
Trying to tear people down just because they're up, that's it. You know, the only thing... America seems to love more than watching someone rise as watching them fall.
Absolutely.
You know, because as much as everyone loved watching Lance Armstrong on his rise to fame, oh my gosh, everyone is so glued to the TV watching him falling apart now.
I don't like him. Fuck that guy. I never liked him. He was an arrogant dick.
Yeah, yeah.
So fall, prick.
Yeah.
Sorry.
Let's see. What do I got coming up? On March 30th, I have a show in Fowler somewhere. I don't know where yet.
Yeah.
This is one of those Ilalio gigs.
Really?
Yeah. I don't know where it's going to be, but...
Ilalio.
And then on April 13th, I'm going to be putting on a show.
Yes.
This is a lot of notice. April 13th, I'm going to be putting on a show at the Mercedes Edwards Theater. Terry Michaels is going to be the opening act.
Yeah.
Kenny Thomas is going to host the show.
Yeah.
And the headliner is going to be a gentleman named Tom Clark.
Yeah.
So I'm looking forward to that. I'm going to put a link in the show notes to some videos of Tom Clark on YouTube, and still working on getting that all put together. You know, it's funny. I got the theater, and I had to go and get a liability insurance policy and a one-day business license to be able to hold the event. And I, like, everything is done, everything is set. And then I get a call from the guy who was going to headline the show and said, oh, that's my wife's birthday. I can't take a gig on that night. I was like, everything was set.
Yeah.
So then, you know, I'm glad I got so much notice. I had plenty of time to find someone else, but
that sucks. Tom
Clark should, yeah, yeah, but that's okay. You know, actually, I was looking forward to seeing that guy too. But anyway, that's April 13th, and there will be more news about that coming up.
Yeah,
tickets are going to be $12 for the floor, $10 for the balcony, and $15 at the door. And I will have a couple of websites set up where you can buy the tickets well in advance of the show.
Yeah.
Terry, thanks a lot for coming out to do the podcast.
Word.
I am JT Foreman, here with Terry the Beast Michaels. We are the Bitter Comics, and I will talk to you next week.
Yeah.
Yeah. No. Wait. Yeah.
Maybe.